It's noon here in Ventnor City, New Jersey, and our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., and this is news that you can use from Courage for Monday, April 22nd, with your hosts, me, Ray, and, well, my son, Zach. How are you today, handsome?
Happy Monday. Doing great, y'all. Today's show is brought to you by us, CarEdge.com. If we can help you buy, sell, protect everything in between, go check it out. Our end of month promotion is running now. Nothing shocking in today's headline, Dad. Let's jump right into it. Top 25 U.S. banks by auto loans, Q4 2023. Auto loan delinquency rates are growing for the industry. The average auto loan delinquency rate from the top 25 U.S. banks is, drumroll please, 3.32%.
Okay.
Some of these financial institutions are getting a little bit desperate because they have, at OFG Bank Corp, 7.4% auto loan delinquency, or at Santander, 13.34% auto loan delinquency, or at Capital One, 7.3%, or Ally, 6.17%. You have hundreds of billions of dollars of outstanding auto loans that are going delinquent at a faster rate than ever before. Repo Mageddon?
Could be. Maybe it's just delinquency Mageddon. Maybe there's too many vehicles where the people are delinquent, where the bank just doesn't have the ability to pick up the car or the desire, because what they're going to sell it for at the auction against what's owed on it is probably troublesome, I think.
Yeah, definitely. It's not only is it troublesome for the consumer, it's obviously troublesome for the bank. We actually do see repoed vehicles picking up at the dealer auctions. You can see there, repo check-in index. So what this is showing you is back in 2019, let's say there were 100 repo cars making it to the dealer auctions, that would be 100%. It went up to 106% in 2020. In 2021, 77%, in 2022, 69%. So that means, again, if there were 100 in 2019, there were only 69 repo vehicles making it to the dealer auctions in 2022. Well, look at that. It's bounced back 90% in 2023, 105% in 2024. At the same time, it's right above my head. That's your rental car check-in, which is still significantly down. And over to the right is your lease check-in, which is significantly down, although bouncing back. So we have, Dad, I think, some desperation in auto finance right now, and maybe some tightening of their guidelines as a response to increased delinquencies and increased repossessions. Even though, to your point, repos, maybe it's delinquency Mageddon, not repo Mageddon, because there's not enough repo drivers out there to go pick up all the cars.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we will see, and we've already seen some of the larger institutions. Ally has said, if you don't have a FICO score of 650 or higher, they're not entertaining you as a loan candidate any longer. So we have seen some large lending institutions tighten their lending guidelines. We have also seen many of these same institutions lower their amount of loan to value ratios that they'll look at. In the past, if you had good credit, you could get a loan-to-value ratio of somewhere around 110 to 130%, depending upon how good your credit was. During the height of the pandemic, when there were shortages and car prices spiked, banks went up to as much as 150, 160%. What does that mean? It means that if a car was worth $10,000, they were willing to lend $15,000 or $16,000 against that collateral. Well, that meant $5,000 or $6,000 of that really was uncollateralized. And so many of those loans are coming back to bite them in the butt now, and they're reevaluating how far above book values they're willing to lend today, even if you have really good credit. So we see high interest rates, we see a tightening in the lending, and we see an increase in delinquencies. This doesn't bode particularly well.
No. And then negative equity amounts we know continue to go up, which honestly, to 2112 help desk's comment here, do the banks really want these repo vehicles? I don't think so, man. I don't think there's an ounce of them that wants to go repossess these vehicles because they know they're underwater on them.
Yes.
At least when the customer keeps paying it off, you know, they're in a good, a decent situation. And I think Dan is onto something here. I know Santander is the captive finance company for Stellantis, but my goodness, let's think about this for a second. Pair these two comments together. Do the banks actually want to repo the vehicles? And Santander, who has the highest auto loan delinquency rate, nearly double their next closest peer at over 13% of their loans in delinquency. And knowing that they are the finance company, the captive finance company for Stellantis, vehicles that depreciate very rapidly, are overpriced, et cetera. Does Santander actually want to go repossess these vehicles? Probably not, because then they're holding the bag of, you know, cars that have huge negative equity or deficiency balances against them.
It's not a particularly happy situation that many of these banks find themselves in, and Santander in particular. I mean, their loan deficiency percentage of their portfolio is four times greater than the national average. And I can tell you, when I, you know, we would deal with captive lenders and deal with any of the lenders, they would look at the portfolios that they had of customers that we would send them, and they didn't want to have a loan delinquency rate somewhere between no greater than 2 to 3%. Okay, so if 2 to 3% was the benchmark, what the hell is 13.35%? I mean, that is just like, that's just credit buyers asleep at the wheel when it comes time to either approve or decline a loan. Or you're just leaving it strictly to computers and AI. And you haven't trained the AI very well to really know what they should be looking for. Because, I mean, 13.35%, that's insanity compared to any of the other 25 largest auto lenders in the country. How can one bank be that far wrong?
Is it because they're the captive finance company for Stellantis? Like, go along that path with me for a moment. It's got to be related to that.
Why? It has to be related to lowering your lending guidelines to the point that they were unsafe, to the point where they didn't make sense. It's got nothing to do with they're the captive lender of Stellantis. It's got everything to do with, well, we decided that we would approve the loan even though we knew better. They could be lined up with BMW, but if you're approving the loans of people that don't qualify, then you're still going to have this ridiculously high delinquency rate.
That is a business model. That is a business model to approve people who don't qualify and give them pre-usurious, isn't that the word? Usurious. Interest rate, right? Like, give them some sort of insane interest rate, know that a bunch of people are going to be delinquent, and, you know, just kind of roll the dice and see what happens. Credit Acceptance Corporation, their earnings come out soon, will have insight into how they're faring. And the expectation there is that they've had to materially increase their loan loss provisions similarly to all these other companies. We talked about last week with Ally, 51% decline year over year in their profit because they've had to put money aside for loan losses. And I'll just pull that list back up on the screen again. Yeah, Ally is the largest auto loan provider out there, 6.17. So almost double the average delinquency rate in the industry. The second largest auto loan provider, Capital One, more than double at 7.3%. Then JP Morgan Chase, 1.41%. Wells Fargo, 3.05%. And then Santander, your number five largest auto loan originator, with $43.71 billion in auto loans and 13.35%. And year over year, that's up 1.48%, that delinquency rate. That's huge.
And you know, you look at like JP Morgan Chase, okay? And they've got, what's that, $63 billion in auto loans that they're carrying? Yep. But only a 1.41% delinquency rate. Why? Because they have stronger lending guidelines. They refuse to lend to people that they know are risky. Look at Bank of America, 1.10%. I mean, there are banks out there that do it. I mean, look at BMW. BMW is only at
1.06.
So, you know, most banks, and let me say this, I know from, you know, being at our BMW and our mini stores when I was there, oftentimes we could talk our buyers into financing more than what they wanted based on the fact that they had such low delinquency rates in our portfolio that they were more than willing to take a chance occasionally. But to be at 6.17 or 7.30, that's like the mortgage crisis of 07-08, where if you fogged the mirror, you were approved, you know, and yeah. That's what's happening with Ally and Capital One and Santander. It's like they're asking the finance manager, well, are they breathing? Yeah. Well, then sign them up. I mean, and that's a crazy way to approve deals.
Look at that far column, though, Dad. Even though, you know, there's a few on here that have had or have really low auto loan delinquency rates, far right column is the year-over-year change in auto loan delinquency, and there's very few negative numbers. It looks like M&T Bank saw a 1/100th of a percent decline in auto loan delinquency rates. And is that PNC? Yeah, yes. PNC saw a nearly 0.5% decline in auto loan delinquency rates. Everyone else, auto loan delinquency rates went up. Obviously, Santander up there at 1.48%, 148 basis points is significant. Capital One at 93 basis points, so nearly a percent. Citizens at 104. EB Acquisition, who evidently is a large auto loan company, 100%. So one is First Bancorp, 1.41%. You know, so in aggregate, the industry is experiencing more and more auto loan delinquency. Some bright spots there, obviously. Look at that. Northwest Bank shares 0.81% delinquency. But when you look at this as a whole, there are hundreds of billions of dollars in auto loans out there that customers have gone delinquent on. And you've got to imagine that repos are coming. That's what happens when people get delinquent on an auto loan.
Yeah, well, there's hundreds of billions of dollars of loans that should have never been approved. Okay. Bank regulators should go to Ally and Capital One and Santander and go, okay, please explain to us what was the rationale for approving this loan? Because you probably can't come up with a good one. So that's what needs to happen. The bank regulators need to be going into these banks and asking those questions. What was the rationale? Explain how you came to the conclusion that you should fund this deal, that you should approve this loan, that this person should qualify for this amount of money. Because if Santander fails or any of these, it's you and I that are going to be bailing them out. So, you know, we have as the ultimate bailer outer, we should have the right to know if and why and how you're approving these loans and how you need to adjust those approvals moving forward so that the citizens of the United States are not on the hook for terrible decisions that are being made by your staff that you're approving of.
Yeah, I want to jump to the chat here. And before I do, I want to ask everyone a quick favor, but I do want to double back to a question I want to, you know, kind of explore with you, Dad. Does this remind you of the housing crisis, just on a smaller scale, but we'll come back. Think about that for a second. Back on caredge.com, under About, click on Careers. We are hiring, especially for the concierge role. We have seen great success with our car buying service back at caredge.com. We need folks who are interested in helping others save money on a car deal to apply. If you are interested in working with our team, just go to caredge.com/careers. Let's come here, Dad. Shout out to Nancy. She was able to get a Lexus at 5% below MSRP. Congratulations to you, Nancy.
Good job.
We'll turn our attention here to Russell. Russell, thank you for the kind contribution. 2015 Hyundai Sonata Sport with 125,000 miles. Engine blew last week and it was replaced for free with a rebuilt engine. Does that affect the trade-in value?
No.
Really?
No, what would affect the trade-in value would be as if they replaced the odometer, and then because the odometer stopped working, and it would be true miles unknown. But the fact that it has a rebuilt engine in it does nothing, means nothing, because the rest of the car still has 125,000 miles on it.
Really? Now, interesting. I would have assumed that if it had a rebuilt engine, when you go to trade it in, someone would figure that out and say, oh, nope, I'm going to value this differently.
What, like value it for more because it's got a rebuilt engine in it, or value it for less because it's got a no, it's got a value. That doesn't affect the wholesale value. Now, if the dealer that trades it knows that it has the rebuilt engine in it, they're going to use that as a rationale for getting more for it on a retail side of things. Well, my goodness. You know, it's got a new rebuilt motor in it. It's like having a brand new motor in the car. You know, the rest of the car might have 125,000 miles on it, but the motor, oh my God, that's probably got 250,000 miles of life left. So, but materially, it doesn't impact the wholesale value of the vehicle.
There you go. Learned something new today. We've got from Baron of Gray Matter. Thank you for the kind contribution. People aren't going to allow anyone to take their car. It'll be very dangerous to repo cars with the level of entitlement nowadays. Bad situation. Obviously, getting your vehicle repossessed is a stressful situation. I've never personally experienced, but I think from those that I've talked to, and obviously videos and things like that. So it seems like a high stress environment for everyone involved. There's a shortage of repo drivers out there. So I think that's the reason that cars aren't going to get repoed, is not because...
And that's part of it. And it's a dangerous industry. You know, a lot of people don't act rationally if they see their car being repossessed, even though they know that they ran the risk of their car being repossessed because they hadn't been making their payments. But it doesn't mean that they act rationally. You know, and sometimes they react with weapons. And so it's a very, very dangerous situation for repo drivers. It's you know, I'm not sure you could pay them enough to put their life on the line every day, several times a day, repossessing vehicles.
Yeah, definitely.
And oftentimes they're not necessarily being repossessed in the best of neighborhoods either.
Yeah. We've got here from Fly Chomper Fly. Thank you, Fly Chomper Fly. Note, my bank PNC low because they stopped lending. Interesting. Yeah, I do wonder if there was some decisions that were made 18 months ago, 12 months ago that are impacting the numbers we're seeing now, aka being less aggressive then, leading to less delinquencies today.
Well, you know, there are obviously banks out there that aren't willing to take on as much risk as other banks. You know, and PNC apparently didn't want to participate in that risk any longer.
Yeah, definitely. And from Peggy Shaw, we appreciate it, Peggy.
There you go, Peggy. And by the way, we're celebrating a new hairdo today. Just got a haircut this morning. It looks similar to the old hairdo. It's just that there's less hair to do.
Yeah, I didn't even notice you got a haircut. All right, so back to that question. It looks good. Yeah. It looks good. Back to that question I asked you before. Does this feel like the housing crisis just for the auto industry? Is that bubble kind of like building back up now? I know we've been talking about that for a while, or does it feel different?
It feels different. Listen, were mistakes made? Did they lend money to people they shouldn't have lent money to? Did they lend amounts of money against the collateral that they should, all of that. But I know this is going to sound odd because it can amount to trillions of dollars, but the amount of trillions of dollars is small in comparison to the trillions of dollars that were involved in the mortgage issue in 2007, 2008. So that even if there is a massive increase in repos and things of that nature, it's not enough to as severely impact the banking industry as the mortgage crisis was.
Gotcha.
So for that reason, I mean, it's bad, and the banks that have these extraordinarily high delinquency rates percentage wise, You know, they should be entitled to a chat from regulators asking to look a little more closely at the loans that they approve.
Let's answer this question for Daniel. How bad is a volunteer repo? So let's like, if you're a Santander customer right now,
yes,
13% of you are delinquent.
Yes.
What do you do? Let's talk about that. How bad is a volunteer repo? What do I do if I'm going delinquent on my auto loan?
A voluntary repo is as bad as any other repo. Okay. It just, what it indicates to future lenders is that you could not handle your credit obligations well. And so that will play into interest rates in the future and potential loan approvals in the future, because that's what they look at. They look at ability, stability, and willingness. And the willingness is, how have you handled your past credit obligations? Well, if you took on more than you knew you could handle, and you realized it, or your circumstances changed and you voluntarily gave back the vehicle, it's still a repossession. It still means that you were unable to handle your credit obligations. So whether it's voluntary or involuntary, it just has a huge negative impact on future credit and the cost of that future credit if you were to get it.
If you are going delinquent on your auto loan, try and pay it off. Like, what's the words of wisdom there?
Well, you know, I still say you contact the lender and see if you can work out some type of amended repayment schedule. And many lenders won't want to talk to you about it, but you need to find the supervisor that will. You just keep going up the food chain until you find somebody that will listen to you and hopefully work with you. You know, because let's face it, they don't want to be in the car business themselves. They want to be in the money lending business. So it to me, if they can amend the amount of money that you pay while you're accruing more interest that you're going to have to pay, that's a benefit to the bank. So I would try and find somebody at the bank that will have a conversation with you to help to resolve the issue until you get back on your feet again. You know, it might be you're delaying the inevitable, or it might be that you get yourself back on your feet and you're able to get caught up, and it, you know, it still will impact your credit moving forward, but being late 30, 60, 90 days is not as bad as seeing a repossession on your credit report. So,
definitely.
Yeah.
Hey, want to give a quick shout out to Leonard. Leonard, that's my middle name. Thank you for your advice in Deal School. Just received a bill of sale for a new 2024 Toyota Tacoma at nearly $3,000 under MSRP, Mountain States Toyota in Denver. No doc fees. Congratulations, Leonard. CarEdge.com/dealschool, 100% free. Please go use it and check it out. Kudos to you, Leonard. Job well done. And Waiting to Retire says, no clickbait week. For those of you that are joining the show late, the reason we were able to go with banks are getting desperate, repos coming, is because J.D. Power put out new data that demonstrates and shows that hundreds of billions of dollars of auto loans are more delinquent than they've ever been before. The big name on here is Santander Holdings, the fifth largest auto loan provider with $43.71 billion in total auto loans outstanding, has over a 13.35% auto loan delinquency rate. The industry average is 3.32%. Okay. Folks at Santander are getting desperate. And you know, Ally and Capital One, the two largest auto finance companies in the United States, 6.17 and 7.3% delinquency rates, respectively. I think they're starting to get a little bit worried too. So I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good about today's title and our stream, because
I know you don't think your title's clickbaity, but it is. It is. But it is. And you did promise that this would be a clickbait free week. You know, maybe it's the picture and the thumbnail. I don't know. But you're probably a little less clickbaity than normal, but it's, you're still click. I mean, come on, you're clickbaity.
Consumer Reports, 4 of 5 least expensive car brands to maintain are American. You got to guess, Dad. This is based on maintenance and repair costs annually. Do you have a guess of what the best, in terms of value, the cheapest brand to maintain is in the first 10 years of ownership?
Buick?
Yep.
Going to say Chevy.
Okay, good guess.
Going to say F-150.
All right, so you're putting Ford in there. All
yeah. Right. And I don't know. Who else? Chrysler?
All right, so here you go. Pretty good guesses. This is out-of-pocket expense for maintenance and repairs. Tesla leading the way at $4,035 over those first 10 years in out-of-pocket maintenance and repairs. Buick, you got the number 2-1, pops, $4,900. Toyota, $4,900. Lincoln, $5,040. Ford, $5,400. Obviously, this would not include like warranty work because you're not paying for that. It's under warranty, so keep that in mind. Chevrolet was one of your guesses there at $5,500. Hyundai at $5,600. Let's go to the bottom of the list. What do you think?
Can you explain one thing to me? How Tesla gets so high? I thought one of the joys of EV ownership is there's so little maintenance. What are you spending the $4,000 on? I don't know. What is that? I mean, doesn't that seem high for something that allegedly requires very little maintenance other than, windshield washer fluid and,
it doesn't look like they really give any significant, it just mentions that Tesla's in here. Maybe tires.
Yeah. But tires, I mean, how many, I don't know. It's not brakes because most of them use regenerative braking. So I don't know. I mean, certainly not oil.
What do you think is the most expensive brand to own for out-of-pocket maintenance and repairs? Porsche?
Mercedes-Benz? Porsche or Mercedes-Benz.
All right, let's see. We're going... There's Chrysler. Oh, man, yeah. $6,500. Subaru all the way down here at $7,200, right? With Mini at $76. I'm surprised by that.
Good thing I don't keep a Mini that long.
We almost had it. We were close. We got Porsche and Mercedes-Benz. Mercedes-Benz is the third most expensive at $10,525. Porsche, the second most expensive at $14,090. And Land Rover, the most expensive at $19,250. Look at that, Dad. After the first 5 years, expect your Land Rover over those next 5 years to cost you $15,000.
Wow.
In out-of-pocket maintenance and repairs.
Wow. Does that include towing from when it breaks down when you're off-road?
Does not also include the second car payment you have on your other Land Rover so that you can always be driving
your Land Rover. Yes, that's I knew Porsche was up there and I knew Mercedes-Benz was up there, but I don't know how I could possibly forget Land Rover. And yet the Land Rover Sport sells particularly well at around the Range Rover Sport at around $150,000. I guess it must be good to have money.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't wait to find out someday.
T. Griffin, thank you, T. Griffin. We appreciate it. Very, very kind and generous. Just wanted to give an update on the Blazer I bought from a few Saturdays ago. I was able to get a 5-year, 60,000-mile bumper-to-bumper warranty for only $12 extra per month, down from the initial quote of almost $60 extra per month.
Wow.
Extended warranties, gap insurance, tire and wheel protection, key replacement, negotiate them at the dealership, folks. This is a perfect example of that. We have merch in the Car Edge store. If it's taxable, it's negotiable. This is a perfect example from T. Griffin, and I will take it as a moment to promote. Yeah. We also sell those products. The same stuff you can get at the dealership can be purchased back on CarEdge.com under warranty and protection. Mechanical, technology, tire and wheel, and key replacement are brand new. We have flat markups on all of our products. You can get a quote without having to give us any contact information. So I'm going to come here and just demonstrate that. You want to get a quote, 2024
Toyota. Chevy Blazer. No, do the Chevy Blazer.
Chevrolet Blazer. Put in the amount of miles that are currently on the vehicle. Get a free quote. No personal information. There you go. You can play around with the term. You can see what it would look like at different term lengths. And then when you want to, you can purchase it entirely online.
Wow.
No dealership involved. We have a flat markup. There's no commission-based crap on our end. So please, please, please use that to negotiate. Or, of course, if you want to support us, you can purchase it there as well. I want to turn our attention to this question from Johnny Bravo. Yeah. Zach, what's it like to have hundreds of people rag on you? I feel anxious because I don't want to lose trust with people. And I also don't want to not, I don't want to not, oh my, double negative. Yeah. I feel a pressure to get views on this channel. And I feel a pressure to not lose trust with people. And so it makes me feel anxious when people rag on me because I don't know what to do.
So that's a tough tightrope to walk.
And it's one of the few things that makes me feel anxious because we are nothing. The whole business, I mean, we have investors, so I don't want to say this like too loud, but like the whole business starts to break if people don't trust us and if YouTube goes away. And so I don't want to lose trust with people and I also don't want to lose the views. And so, yeah, it's like, it makes me feel really anxious because we've got 40-ish people working here now.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people that make a living from this business. That's a lot of families that, you know, like dinner gets served because of your work. Like, yeah, it makes me feel anxious.
Okay. Well, what can we do to help?
It's the internet, man. I'm expecting people to keep bragging on me, but yeah, I don't know if I need you to help. I don't know. No, I mean, it's fine. I like, we've been doing it for 4 years now, so I have been wondering why recently I've been getting ragged on more. That's been kind of something I did use shock like 3 out of the 5 titles last week. So I feel like I kind of deserved it. I did it to myself.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's okay. It's okay. I think it comes with the territory, man. It's okay.
When you're a public figure, buddy, it's tough. And
I don't know if we're public figures, but yeah.
Well, you get recognized.
Yeah. Occasionally.
You don't know.
Yeah, occasionally.
That means you're a public figure, damn it. I don't know how else to describe it. Okay. You know, I got stopped in the Acme the other day. I mean, you know, it just happens. So yeah, it's part and parcel of that. And one of the wonderful things that we like to do in this country is first we like to build people up. Okay, and put them on this quasi pedestal. And then the greatest joy we get is tearing them down off of that pedestal. And that's just the way things work here in this country. It's terrible to say, but you know, so 1 minute you're the love of the nation, and the next minute you're the scourge of the nation. And so we have that to look forward to.
I don't know, man. That sounds painful.
We'll get through it.
Yeah. I think that's one of the benefits of doing this together. You know, like I think, you know, maybe my dad, you balance me out on a lot of clickbait stuff, but I think you trust my judgment for the most part. And we have, you know, like you, anyway, we do it together. So
yeah,
we help keep each other, you know, feeling good. But yeah, this definitely brings me anxiety, guys. Cause I freaking love what we do. I love the business we've built. I love doing this show with my dad. And I love having a big audience. It brings, like, it's addicting. It's very addicting. After we hop off and there's a big audience, like my dad and I stay on and we're like, whoa, there were so many, like it's addicting. So it's a really tough,
it's a drug. Fame is a drug.
Okay, I'm gonna go eat lunch.
Okay,
we'll be back tomorrow. Thank you, everyone, for listening to my emotional sob story. But I appreciate the space to do it. Thank you, Dad, as always.
Yep.
CarEdge.com. If we can help, we're hiring for the concierge role. We need help with the car buying service. If we can help you, if you can help us, we can help you. Whatever. Just check out the website.
Let us know. Love you, handsome.
Love you too. See you guys tomorrow.